Slightly over time, so we will move on directly to the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee presentation. And I believe we have a virtual Commissioner Yamamoto available to us. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. I do appreciate that. I am hoping that we could start with Coos County Commissioner John Sweet.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
There we are. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Very good. Chair Kelly, Acting State Forester Hirsch, members of the Board of Forestry, I am John Sweet, Coos County Commissioner and co-chair of the Council of Forest Trustland Counties and Forest Trustland Advisory Committee. I'll be brief today. Commissioner Yamamoto has nicely laid out our concerns about the currently proposed HCP, and we'll be discussing the benefits of an alternative HCP suggested by the counties. We have amply discussed the adverse impacts to rural economies and families when forest lands are taken out of the harvest base, so I'll not get into that today as well. But we are seeing another consequence of curtailing timber harvest that has not been fully discussed, and that is housing affordability. It is a widely recognized problem impacting rural and urban families alike. In recent years, U.S. housing starts have been far below normal, and the supply of timber and lumber and plywood has been adequate. But early this year, housing starts rose to the 1.5 million starts a year that it normally takes to keep us up with population growth and attrition of old homes. This has caused, just reaching this level, has driven lumber and plywood prices to record highs, up 3 to 4 times what they were just over a year ago, and resulting in increased costs to a normal home of about $36,000. In my view, supply of lumber and plywood is currently limited by sawmill and plywood capacity. Log supply is adequate, largely because of salvage logging of last year's fire-killed timber. But once salvage logging is complete, what happens then? With a harvest base reduced by governmental restrictions, as well as recent fires, I suspect raw material availability may further restrict lumber and plywood production and drive housing costs even higher. So this leaves us with the question about the wisdom of an HCP that would take over half of the trust lands out of production. And it seems certain to further contribute to housing affordability. So I would hope that we would take matters like this into consideration as we move forward with a management plan for our county forest trust lands. Thank you for your time.
So, Chair Kelly, Acting State Forester Hirsch, members of the Board of Forestry, thank you for this opportunity to address you this afternoon. For the record, I am Tillamook County Commissioner David Yamamoto, Chair of both the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties and Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. I would like to extend a special welcome to the Board of Forestry's newest members, Carla Chambers, Ben Dumling, and Chandra Ferrari, as well as to Acting State Forester Nancy Hirsch. I look forward to a close working relationship with all of you as we move forward in discussing matters critical to the Forest Trust Land Counties. It was my hope, especially considering that we have 3 new members to the Board of Forestry, that I might spend some time exploring a brief history of how, since 1936, the Oregon Board of Forestry has acquired by deed roughly 654,000 acres of county forest land to be managed by the Oregon Department of Forestry as state forests under Oregon Revised Statute 530. Unfortunately, due to the time constraints and other pressing issues, I am not able to speak to this issue today, although I hope to be able to address this topic in detail at some future date. The Oregon Department of Forestry has developed a draft habitat conservation plan for 638,000 acres of forest lands managed by ODF. This draft habitat conservation plan proposes a set of conservation strategies designed to maintain and enhance habitat for 9 species of fish and 7 terrestrial species, some of which are listed as threatened under the Federal Endangered Species Act. As proposed, this habitat conservation plan would result in a 70-year agreement with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services and NOAA Fisheries, under which ODF would not be prosecuted for incidental take of listed species. This draft habitat conservation plan would establish roughly 275,000 acres of habitat conservation areas and an additional 77,000 acres of riparian conservation areas, leaving only about 291,000 acres left for sustainable timber harvest. As proposed, this draft habitat conservation plan would result in a number of unfavorable outcomes, including, number one, timber harvest would drop over time from the current 260 million board feet to roughly 205 million board feet annually. Two, ODF projects its own annual share of harvest revenues will fall short of its budget by $12 million per year in the short run, and that deficit will climb to $25 million per year in the long term. And third, annual revenues shared with trust counties and our taxing districts will fall from about $55 million per year to roughly $42 million per year, putting additional financial pressure on current levels of county services. In addition, this draft habitat conservation plan did not estimate impacts on employment or wages lost in communities. We expect the harvest reductions would affect roughly 500 family wage, fully benefited jobs in the timber industry, at least 150 family wage, fully benefited jobs in the trust counties, as well as a significant number of family wage, fully benefited jobs at ODF. This draft habitat conservation plan measures conservation outcomes in terms of the number of acres of suitable habitat, and appears to assume that providing suitable habitat alone will increase northern spotted owl numbers. This thinking follows along the strategies developed in the Northwest Forest Plan from 1994, which the federal government originally drafted with the intent of protecting critical habitat for the northern spotted owl, again, reasoning that protecting habitat would save the northern spotted owl. Today, some 28 years after implementation on almost 25 million acres of federal timberlands in the Pacific Northwest, northern spotted owl populations continue to decline at rates as high as negative 6.1% per year in the Coast Range. The implicit assumption is that suitable habitat is the primary factor affecting populations. The current consensus of biologists, however, is that competition and predation from the barred owl has larger impact on northern spotted owl population trends than habitat conditions. And without control of barred owl populations, the northern spotted owl population will continue to decline, regardless of habitat. The Council of Forest Trust Land Counties has submitted our own three goals alternative, a 19-page HCP alternative to be considered as an addition to the 1,000-page ODF draft habitat conservation plan as it wends its way through the federal NEPA process. Our three goals alternative proposes no changes to the riparian conservation areas and only very minor changes to the habitat conservation areas. Our three goals alternative will improve the financial, economic, and conservation outcomes by making a commitment to immediate and long-term control of barred owls in northern spotted owl core areas, increasing financial returns to trust counties and our taxing districts, while providing continued levels of employment, and at the same time maintaining the financial viability of ODF. Under the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties Three Goals Alternative, initial barred owl control efforts will reduce the barred owl occupancy rate by 14%, which would improve the current northern spotted owl population rate of change from a minus 6.1% per year to as much as a positive 3.3% per year. By reducing the barred owl population by 32%, could allow northern spotted owl populations to recover at rates up to a positive 10% per year. Recent studies point to the fact that without predator control, the northern spotted owl will go extinct, no matter the number of acres put into habitat conservation areas. And yet with predator control, we can save the northern spotted owl from extinction. It is important for me to note here that our Three Goals Alternative also addresses another species, the marbled murrelette. But in order to try to stay within our allotted 15-minute allocation, I must withhold these comments at this time. Keeping this predator control scenario in mind, we find that we can decrease the proposed 275,000-acre habitat conservation area by up to 100,000 acres for continuing sustainable harvest and still meet and improve outcomes for listed species, while at the same time improving financial, social, and economic outcomes for the trust counties and their special districts, while also improving the financial strength of ODF and the state of Oregon. Even though we have named our habitat conservation plan the Three Goals Alternative, I like to refer to it as a win-win-win-win-win scenario. Win number one, using ODF's own business case analysis provided by ODF to the Board of Forestry and Trust Counties in 2018, acres available for harvest would increase from 51% to 63% of state forest lands, which increases timber revenue to support trust counties and their taxing districts to provide economic and social benefits to trust county residents. Win number two, ODF's habitat conservation plan makes no mention of lost jobs due to reduced harvest levels. Our Three Goals Alternative will assure family wage fully benefited jobs necessary to the well-being of our rural trust counties. Win number three, every dollar of lost timber revenue also affects ODF's budget, already predicting an annual budget shortfall, again, of $12 million in the short term and $25 million annually in the long term. ODF has made several attempts over the years to convince the legislature to provide additional funding for the department using general fund dollars, each time being denied. Increased harvest will better position ODF to continue to do the important work of forest management. Win number four, every dollar of reduced timber revenue forces the state to increase dollars going into the school equalization fund, since timber revenue taken away from timber-reliant school districts in the trust counties will need to be replaced by the state general fund. Win number five, our Three Goals Alternative is the only plan currently being considered that can actually save the northern spotted owl from extinction. I very much appreciate this time to quickly explain the goals and objectives of the Council of Forest Trust Lands County's Three Goals Alternative. Our Three Goals Alternative proposes increased measures to control for predators and improve existing habitat, while also decreasing the amount of habitat set aside to leave enough harvestable acres available to improve financial outcomes for the trust counties as well as ODF, to ensure our proposal produces desired conservation outcomes. It would focus on actual population numbers, not just habitat acres, as the sole metric of success. The Trust County's proposal is a sensible and balanced path forward and would improve both conservation and financial results for all Oregonians. Thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen, and be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Commissioner Yamamoto and Commissioner Sweet, and thank you for almost keeping it within 15 minutes. And we appreciate it, but we are behind a little bit. So is anybody got burning questions?
Thank you for your presentation. I wonder if anyone has done an analysis on the rural economic impact. I see your numbers on job loss projected, but if we add a multiplier to that, is there any economic analysis that's in the works looking at the overall total economic impact to rural economies in Oregon?
Thank you, Chair Kelly, members of the Board of Forestry. We have done quite a few different economic analysis. We utilize Mark Rasmussen of Mason, Bruce, and Gerard as our consultant, and we look at these numbers all the time. I would be more than happy to put together a presentation of the numbers, especially as it might apply to the proposed HCP, and bring those to you.
Okay, with that, thank you again, commissioners, and it is time to move to the next item on our agenda.